Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 81 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And we will be covering season 6, episode 14 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled Mother. But first, we have some feedback for, I guess it was 2 episodes ago, when we did the double episode, season 6, episode 11, The Holding, and season 6, episode 12, In Dreams. So let's bring out Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, so we have from our friend Erin from the internet. She first says, I like the banter combo for this double release. Smiley face. For the first episode we covered that night, season 6, episode 11, The Holding. First she says, we'll miss you, Kyle. And we miss him too.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. And but the only thing I have been able to hear from Kyle lately is his posts on Instagram. So anyway, but he seems to be, things seem to be peaceful where he's at. She says, a great pep talk, Renee, with clapping emoji. And I think that's probably has to do with what Renee said to me.
Yep.
And I'll say thank you. Imagine if they used Alicia more on the series instead of pushing Morgan so much. Good dreams. Well, I guess she was probably satisfied this week. Yep. A DS9 reference. Smiley face. Yes. I know Aaron's a Deep Space Nine fan, so. And then she
given
says,
given the fact that both the hosts are Trekkies.
Yeah. Yes. And, in fact, I got on, well, I was just in the audience, but, what's it called? The one with, Kira Klofft and that used to be with Aaron Eisenberg as well. What is that one called? Anyway.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah. They were talking about the story. The episode that was partially based on the story that I sold to Deep Space Nine just earlier this week. So, Broken Link, the season finale from season 4. Anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah. Then she says, Fallout reference, clapping emoji LT. And then she says, Al just doesn't want Alicia to get jealous when she finds out about Isabel. Winking smiley face. And then, why don't you take season 6, episode 12?
Okay. So Aaron says season 6, episode 12. Holy crap. I didn't even think how it was Mother's Day when this episode aired. Yeah. Way to make a depressing episode, Fear. Ha. Huh. I definitely thought the baby was Morgan's, honestly. This season of Fear isn't bad. It's nothing to really necessarily write home about, arguably, but it's certainly not the worst the series has been. And says, I'm waiting to hear the discussion on Rejoined for the Rebinge podcast. Smiley face.
All right. Moving on to this week's episode, season 6, episode 14, titled Mother. It is written by consulting producer Channing Powell and executive story editor Alex Delisle. I know Alex Delisle's been with the show, I think since season 4. And Channing Powell, I think I mentioned on a previous episode, actually, yeah, 2 weeks ago. So this is her second episode of writing for Fear, but she's written like 17 or 18 episodes of The Walking Dead. And it is directed by Janice Cook. And don't know much about her. According to Wikipedia, She started as an associate producer with Fantasy Island. Yes, that Fantasy Island, the Ricardo Montalban version. And then had other TV producing credits such as Blue Thunder, Our Family Honor, Werewolf, Hard Time on Planet Earth, Moon Over Miami, The Marshal, and Any Day Now. She made her directorial debut with Any Day Now. And some of her other director's credits, Dawson's Creek, The Division, Summerland, Charmed, Close to Home, Privileged, The X-List, The Cleaner, 90210, One Tree Hill, Cold Case, Gossip Girl, Bluff City Law, Station 19, and How to Get Away with Murder. So she has a long history of being in TV. The description from AMC.com is as follows. Alicia is held prisoner by Teddy. There, she reunites with old friends and must confront her past if she hopes to move on and escape. All right, LT, what did you think of Mother?
Well, I gave it 8 out of 10. What? Or Teddy plays the long, crazy game.
So it's not...
What?
No.
Okay.
It's what?
This was an interesting episode, I guess. Had some good points, but also some, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some things that just seemed a little strange to me.
Indeed.
So, yeah. And my notes are pretty sparse in this. I'll just say that right now. So some of it I'm going to make up as we go. But I'm going to give it an 8.5. And I'm going to say he was grubby in prison too. Or maybe I'll say lucky stabs, 8.5 lucky stabs for the stabbing of the head where Teddy figured out right away how to kill a walker. So.
Yeah. But he definitely looked better with his hair pulled back.
Yeah. Yeah. But not much in bathing.
He didn't have that wild man of the woods look.
Yeah.
He looked more like a hipster poet.
Maybe. All right. So we've got some listener ratings. LT, start us off.
Yes, we do. Glenn's from Toronto says 7 out of 10, Sioux Falls and Other Undesirables.
Renee from Atlanta says 10 out of 10, Dakota drunk the Kool-Aid. Who would have ever thunk it? Rolling eye face, rolling eye face, rolling eye face, and rolling eye face.
Dieta from Detroit says 8 out of 10, Teddy the Psycho teams up with Dakota, a young psycho in the making. Rolling on the floor, rolling on the floor.
And lastly, we have a longer one from Aaron from the internet. And she says, I want to give this an epic just because there's no Morgan and it's Alicia centric. I noticed that, by the way. This might be the only episode I can think of that had no Morgan in it at all.
Yes, it was completely Morgan free.
Yes. But playing fair, I'm going to give it a high good because I did like the character exploration for Alicia and seeing her showcase all her skills and for the debates proposed in this episode. But Dakota feels very one note as a character, and you can see how they'll probably kill her at the end. And I still don't fear Teddy or his group enough to really get into their stuff. Yes, nuking the world is scary, but we're kind of being hit with his backstory at the last hour, and seeing this group now instead of seeing more of their buildup, which could have made them like Otto family worrisome. It may just be me, but I would have rather we'd seen more with Ginny alluding to the people and showing issues with them messing with her and her only screwing with Morgan because she thought he was a part of them, and it roll into us getting more with Teddy than us wasting so much time with the Rangers when they aren't the big evil. Also, making John's dad connect to him does tie in season stuff, sure, but it felt more like doing it because they can, rather than because it had to be connected, you know? So yeah, because of season pacing, I can just fairly give this a high good, as much as I'd like to rate it higher. Just on the fact, Alicia alone was awesome, and there's no Morgan. Ha! All right, so let's move on to our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right. We'll start with Dieta from Detroit, who says, Alicia unbothered by the loop. Looks like rolling on the ground laughing emoji and rolling on the ground emoji. Has another awesome episode.
Yep. Glennis from Toronto says, Alicia with the handgun through the body of the walker pointing at Cole. Alicia was so cool, calm, and collected with that cold and calculating look and sarcastic comments, all the while confronted by Cole with a gun in her face, staring down imminent death. That see-through gunshot walker was also awesome. And then lastly, she says, mummy mother getting shot in the face. I like that one too, actually.
Yep. Okay, Megan from Pennsylvania says, Teddy's tan suit, blue socks, and Birkenstocks look, paired with the long, crazy hair for true cult leader style. And we have some more from Aaron from the internet. Alicia, just straight up Alicia Clark this episode. She is showcasing her intelligence and calm, and it's like watching a baby Madison being born almost, except she's less cynical. Ugh, my heart. I just love her so much. She was definitely the reason this episode got rated so high. Smiley face. Other awesome bits. The cinematography, of course. Again, if the season does one thing right, it's this. The fact there is zero Morgan in this episode, also, until the promo at the end, was a personal awesome sauce for me. Ha.
Lastly, for our listener awesome sauce, we get Renee from Atlanta. She says, Alicia, Alicia, Alicia. And that is four hug emojis. I love the fact that she definitely didn't drink the Kool-Aid because she said, you don't have to kill everyone, just the bad ones. Paraphrasing. Alicia was able to tell Strand what Teddy Bear and his cult were up to. Yep. Although I would have liked to have heard missiles. I don't think I heard missiles. Did I?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Anyway, but I think there was enough there. All right. LT, what do you have for awesome sauce?
Okay. Well, two of the things I wanted to throw out is, Total props to, and I'm going to call it wrong, is it Julian Glover or am I the wrong? Just John Glover. Because Teddy has some next level crazy going on.
He definitely does.
I was excited when I saw that he was going to be in the series from that first promo clip we got. And just the way he has played that character, whether I'm going to dish on the plot or not, he absolutely just nails the crazy cult leader because he went from, you know, mom in a tarp in the back of the truck, just that complete snap of, that's not my mother. She's buried in the backyard on the farm. You know, just how he absolutely played the, you're thinking, okay, he's really hung up on this corpse.
Yeah.
And then with the showdown with Cole, it was like, no, that's not mom. You know, total props to the actor because he absolutely just killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to agree with Megan. Absolutely thought that the, you know, the flowy coat and the little band collar shirt and the Berkeys just had the cult, crazy cult leader look down. The other thing I thought was pretty awesome was, so Cole and some of the crew did survive the stadium, and I might have to go there anyway. So I guess this might be more confirmation that Madison didn't make it out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Could be. But the fact that we find out that it wasn't just our people that escaped. Mm-hmm. That because of what Madison did at the stadium, that this other posse of people escaped. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of crappy that, you know, obviously without strong leadership, they turned to the dark side, mm-hmm. which you could always argue about the exigency of the circumstances. But as soon as they showed him, I was like, oh, cool. Oh, wait. Oh, cool. Because, you know, there were a lot of people who was expecting someone else to be the person with the shotgun that saved the day.
But yeah.
It was Cole. You know, Cole and what was it? Cole and Douglas and Viv.
Yeah.
And of course, Rando 1-4.
Yeah. And like upon reflection, I remember those three. They were not people I had thought of. I thought basically we weren't going to see them again, but
right. It's like, we did. For most of them, I mean, I thought it was really great. They tied them back in, brought them back, showed mm-hmm. that, you know, other people survived. Of course, it's sort of like what you and I have talked about on the main show, you know, random Alexandrian one, random Hilltopper one. We know they have names, but they're just, you know, they'll come up and say something and wander off. But it was nice to see, you know, them do a callback to previous survivors.
Yeah.
And for all the stuff that I'm going to talk about later, for the most part, I thought it was pretty cool that they sort of played that out like they did. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely an interesting plot development. I think that it's going to set up things for the last two episodes fairly nicely. And it's kind of got me on edge. It's kind of nice to have some anticipation for what they're going to do. Because you and I have talked about it. That we've had several periods where we're going, I kind of see what's coming. It's kind of, and it gets here and you're kind of like, well, that's what I thought. Or, well, that's kind of not what I thought. But this could go two or three different ways. I mean, this is nice to have a little bit of good tension, a little bit of good anticipation coming into the last two episodes. This is the kind of thing that we've wanted to see as fans of the show.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want jump scares for our season finale. You know, we don't want something that you could kind of see coming way off. And it, when it gets here, it's like, yep, that's what I thought. So I'm pretty happy, pretty positive about the awesome parts of the episode.
Yep.
So what have you got, Brian?
Well, surprised nobody brought it up, but we get to see some early scenes of the apocalypse. And you know, like you hear the news reports where they don't even mm-hmm. realize that the people that are, you know, acting the way that they are dead. Like they haven't right. even put that together yet. And you know, it's something that was promised in this show, and we got to see it like the first three episodes, well, the first six episodes, but we had that 9-day time jump that I think pretty much all of us felt cheated by. So it was nice for them to go back and see this from another perspective. And if you think about it, right, we've seen a prison from the like after effects,
right,
in The Walking Dead, but we didn't see what happened right at the time when things, you know, went south. If I recall correctly, they put them all in that cafeteria or something and lock them in, and that's why they were able to survive
right. on
the main show. And of course, this time, you know, we see Teddy able to kind of work through what he needed to do right very quickly. You know, he had, like I said in my rating, a lucky, you know, stab. And I don't know what that was. Was it a pencil?
It was a pencil.
Yeah.
For all you John Wick fans out there, he killed him with a pencil.
So, that was a lucky shot, but, nevertheless, you know, that's kind of how pretty much everyone figures it out, you know, with trying, let's try the heart. And it's like, oh, that doesn't work. And then finally, you know, they figure it out. So anyway, I enjoyed seeing him in prison. It was a nice touch to have one of the walkers be the guy that was about to be put to death. What probably happened is he was put to death and he came back. And yep. And so he was the one that started it off.
When he had the IV line in his arm, that was kind of what gave it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so the whole thing was really interesting. And like I say, it's good to hear those news reports, see those chaotic first moments of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, talking about like intensive care units being, you know, overrun, people not going into hospitals because of it reminded me a lot of, you know, things about COVID, whether that was intentional or not, just because there have been a lot of people that have been sick that haven't gotten treated in the last year or so because of worry about COVID, but usually for other ailments, you know.
Right.
It rung true, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I also noticed, and this wasn't really like a part of the episode, I guess. I noticed it said with Keith Carradine in the credits. So he is at least currently considered a regular. John Glover is guest starring, but Keith Carradine is listed with regulars. And of course, he's got a lot of times you'll see this, like they'll put some of the critical supporting characters, like for example, on The Walking Dead, Jeffrey Dean Morgan has an "and" at the end. So, right. And usually they'll put, if they have more than one person, they'll put a "with." So, you know, there's already an "and," so they have a "with." Not "with," "with." So anyway, that is possibility, you know, that he might survive this season and come back for season 7. And that would be great if he ends up, you know, coming back with the show at for next season.
Yes, it would.
Mm-hmm. So beyond that, going to things that I haven't written, I did like how the episode was. I think you talked about it a little bit, but it did have some unpredictability to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't like, for example, the mom, I didn't see that twist that it wasn't his mother. Like, but at the same time, there were parts of it that it was just like, oh, come on. But the fact that he just got a body. Why he got that particular body, I don't know, but it was...
He is a mortician, so he probably would know.
That is a good point. Yeah.
You know, he would probably... That could have been some of his work. Who knows?
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been. But, yeah, that was... It was like I say, there were some interesting twists and turns to this episode that I liked, and I do like it when an episode, you know, isn't predictable. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
All right. So that's it. All I can think of for now.
Okay.
So let's move on to the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Let's kick off our weak sauce with Aaron from the internet. Again, with the monologuing from villains. Stop doing that, bad guys. That's why we run through so many of you now. Seriously, I'm not the only one who remembers when we had one main season villain, right? Two at the most, but now it's like three mini ones, which equal a bad for the episodes of the season. How are we supposed to really know and fear these villains if we don't get to know them? Dakota's penchant for murder doesn't make her scary. It makes her annoying because she could off another favorite. Teddy may have a good message to bait, but if we don't know him, we will care about the message. Arguably, no. Jenny had potential to be a good switch and play on how the villain isn't always the villain, but they burnt that bridge, and yeah, can we just slow down on the villain roster's next year show? Give us one or two main villains, and that's it. You're going to need a roster, after all, for when the shows merge and when you need to fill the episodes with content fans might watch, since most of their favorites will probably be gone at that point, the way you're dragging around. We know you care mainly about the main show, and there's as many TWD people on Fear now as we had original Fear characters. So?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with most of those points. Lastly, for Weak Sauce, we got Dieta from Detroit. She says, Dakota is still alive, and the fact that this show brings back old characters just to make them bad and kill them off is just sad. And I don't think she means sad as in sad sauce, but sad as in weak.
Yep.
Pathetic. It would have been nice to see Cole and Alicia take down Teddy and Dakota reunite with her mother, Madison. Oh, I think she means Alicia, then reunite with her mother, Madison. I don't know. Shrugging emoji, shrugging emoji, shrugging emoji.
Yep.
It would have been nice to see Madison. I mean, if there was ever going to be a time, it would have probably been in this episode, like in a flashback or something. But,
yep,
you know, we did see on AMC Plus, you know, when they discussed the episode, we did see her face show up in the discussion of the episode, but that was it. So, all right, LT, what do you have for Weak Sauce?
Well, for my Weak Sauce, I know it got awesomed a little bit ago, but I'm going to weak the improvised walker shield that Alicia used.
Mm-hmm.
Only because if you have to stick your hand through the goo pile, you've now put walker guts and goo into the one part of a revolver that will make it not work.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to use a person as a shield, you hook them under the armpit and you sort of hide behind them and you stick the gun under their arm. You know, I thought it was cool that they said, oh, you've got a cute practical effect since we have walkers with holes in them. But my realistic brain just says, nah, because you saw how much goop was on that pistol anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so my next bit of weak sauce was Cole. You know, I'm thinking, was it just the fact that you no longer had strong, effective, mature adult leadership that caused you to go down the road to become a bad guy? Because he didn't seem like a bad guy at the stadium, but he seemed to have fairly well embraced bad guy-dom in this episode.
Yeah, none of them did. They all seemed to be good people, you know.
And you could make the case that it's extreme circumstances force good people to do things that may otherwise be morally reprehensible. But by the same token, look at our heroes who have been forced with the same levels of stress and privation and whatever, and they're still good guys. So
mm-hmm.
My other bit of weak sauce is a little less talk and a little more shooting. It's just, there was a couple of points where it's like, if you stand there and keep talking to him, if somebody had any sense, they would have just gone ahead and thrown down. Yeah. It's just this whole predisposition to expositional monologue. I'm like, if you're going to have a gunfight, have a gunfight. If you're going to talk, it just seemed like there was a lot of interrupting conversation in the action. And I guess the last bit of weak sauce I had was, okay, so Teddy has taken Alicia back to the hotel and he's locked her in the basement. So what's in the closet? Did he just lock her in an anteroom with no food and water in the hopes that this is a very quick nuclear exchange that he could get back to her before she starves to death or dies of dehydration? Or did he lock her in the actual chamber where there's supplies? I just kind of wondered about that, because if you're wanting somebody to, you know, do whatever he wants her to do. It just seems like that he's locked her in a cabinet with nothing in it. It just seems kind of, you know, bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had wondered that myself, because it sounds like they put her under and nobody else. So are the rest of them just going to die? And
I don't know.
Yeah, that was the one big question that I had. And, you know, I didn't write it down in my weak sauce, but it's good that you brought it up, because I thought about this as well. Like, she can't start a new civilization if it's just her, right?
It's true.
Yeah. Like, you know, she can't, it's not possible, right? I mean,
yeah.
Unless they have cloning facilities down there.
Or unless they, you know, he brings other people back.
Yeah.
After they do whatever there is they're going to do. It just seemed kind of odd that he locked her in the closet and left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see the idea that Teddy doesn't survive it, you know, but I can't see the idea that the rest of his flock aren't going to survive it. I mean, it just seemed a big bait and switch.
It was good for the dramatic moment. It made for a good scene, but it doesn't have any logical legs to stand on.
Right. Yeah. I don't get it. And, you know, maybe, again, this is something that I talked about last week, which last week / today, because we were really late. Well, it's all my fault, but in getting the episode out for the JD season 6, episode 13.
Yep.
But we talked about the idea last week that the show plays differently, and many of the serial shows play differently if you watch them in a binge versus watching them week to week. And I think this is something that may make more sense if we, you know, see episode 15 and 16 right after it. But like right now, we're filled with all sorts of questions that we have to wait a week and maybe even 2 weeks before we get any answers to them. So,
yep.
Like, that may have just been something that, you know, he said or, you know, meant to indicate that some of them were, you know, and the one thing I don't understand is, like, they will pick up new people, but they'll only pick up certain people. Why did they not know that, like Morgan's people? Like, okay, you have a problem with Morgan, but why not pick up more of Morgan's people? Now, mind you, they did. Obviously, they picked up Dakota, which I don't think they realized she was with Morgan, but in that whole thing.
Yeah, but they picked up, Dakota went looking for Alicia, so she was pick upable.
Yeah.
I think they're not just randomly snatching people out of settlements.
Perhaps. Okay, so getting into my weak sauce, the question that I had was how would he know? Like, he said something like, I was expecting we would come across survivors from the stadium. Well, how did he know that? I mean, like, did they come across them before? Is that what, you know, and how would he have known that they were from the stadium? I didn't understand how was put together.
And I can't remember how long ago it's been, but maybe he saw some of Al's tapes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only plausible thing I can think of, because I know there was a lot of talk in all of that.
That's possible. Yeah.
I think through his accumulating people, maybe he accumulated some of the vultures that survived, or maybe there's another stadium person in the background that is joined the Teddy clan. So
that's a good point. Yeah, it could have been. We don't know.
It's just a dangling thread that we don't know how it happened.
Right. Now, remember, like those people were in a vehicle and it looked like they were being overtaken by walkers at the stadium, but we don't actually see them get killed.
Right.
So, and I remember those three specifically were in the same car. It's been a while since I've watched that, but I seem to remember that. So, you know, them bringing them back, like I thought that was interesting. It certainly wasn't expected for me. Cole would have been the last person that I would have thought, would show up. He hasn't been much more than a passing thought from, you know, maybe thought of in 4B and that's it. What I put down, the other thing, and it's not specific to this episode, but I just wonder, like, we've seen this twice now. So, you know, we have 5A, which we talked about 5A and that whole crappy airplane plot, you know, and the kids putting together an airplane where we have no idea where the kids are at this point. It's like they've been, like, just tossed aside. And then, you know, we get Logan, who's kind of the bad guy in 5A and most of 5B, but then suddenly we get these pioneers show up in the last few episodes. And now it's the same kind of thing where most of the season was the pioneers, and we start getting right at the end the stuff with, I don't know what you want to call these, this cult, the sub-cult, I don't know, but the missile cult. But
the teddy bears.
The teddy bears, there you go. But the thing that gets me is I don't understand why they're making the story like this. Like, it seems like it would be better for them to, like, have a whole season of the pioneers with maybe right at the end, a hint of something that's going to happen to the next season. And then maybe a whole season of Teddy. Now we've had like little, you know, hints that those people are there, but it took a long time before we finally got to them, you know, like episode 11. So I just wonder on the pace, like I would rather them spend a whole season or even a half season on these, you know, adversaries rather than how they're kind of splitting it up. You know, it seems like I think I would have enjoyed an entire season of Teddy as the bad guy, but that's not what we got. You know, what we're getting is a few episodes near the end of Teddy as the bad guy. And we're probably not going to see those people beyond the end of the season. Maybe we will, but
maybe we won't.
Probably we won't. I don't think we will. If we do, it'll just be like the remnants of them, you know? So,
yeah.
So I said in here, I said not slow enough. And what I meant by that is I would have rather had a whole season of Ginny and the Pioneers, maybe a little bit interspersed with CRM stuff for, you know, universe continuity, and season 7 of Teddy, like all Teddy, you know, rather than how they're splitting it up.
Yeah, it just seems like that we dropped the Pioneers. And I mean, did they all just like wander away from home when Ginny died?
It seems that way. It seems like, you know, when they killed Hill, you know, he was the last of the Pioneers, and basically what is left is just, you know, what Strand has, and, you know, he's kind of leading them now, and they'll be led differently.
Yeah, but we don't know.
We don't know. And
just looking at the map, you'd think that Ginny had this big burgeoning empire of settlements.
Mm-hmm, right.
And now it's like, oh, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we suddenly just drop that entire side of the story.
Yeah. That's why I don't like how they're doing this. It just,
yeah,
you know, structurally, I would rather them spend a whole season with Teddy as the bad guy. He's an interesting character. I mean, let's face it.
And they could have built that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, that's my main criticism. Not so much for the episode, but as a season as a whole. Okay, so let's move on to our what sauce.
What?
All right. Renee from Atlanta. She says, Teddy Bear the Psycho, pretending the corpse was his mom and then kissing it. Ew. I mean, what the hell was the point of all that nonsense? Well, he was obviously just...
he was playing his game.
Yeah. He was in character, I guess. Then she says, Alicia had so many opportunities to take the psycho out. Shrugging emoji. I understand she wanted to find out what he was up to, but I think I would have killed him.
Yeah.
I would say that's a valid point, but then again, if she did and, you know, Riley kind of took over, she would basically be at square one.
Mm-hmm.
So I partially agree with you. Then she says, who the hell is Cole? I don't remember him at all. Well, I'll try to jog your memory, and I'm sure, LT, you can help out as well. Cole was at the stadium. He is gay, and he kind of had a little crush going on with Strand.
He had kind of a thing with Strand.
Yeah. I don't think they ever consummated things, but he definitely was interested in Strand. So
yep.
That's why when... you know, he asks about Strand, you know, was kind of like his eyeballs like popped out, or, you know, he kind of got wide eyed. But yeah, he was just in season 4A at the stadium. And I remember that the actor was on Talking Dead once. Beyond that, you know, he hasn't been seen since Madison died at the stadium. So,
yep.
Yeah. And those other two, Douglas and Viv, I think they were husband and wife, if I recall.
Yeah.
So, and they were also at the stadium. So then she asked, why the hell is Dakota still alive? And then that's fuming mad face, and mad face. Emoji. They're all the same. I just dropped the fuming part.
Okay. Dieta from Detroit says, how the hell did Dakota end up with Teddy the Psycho? These time jumps are pissing me off. She was just talking to Morgan and our people, lying about having information.
That's
a good point.
Yeah. I mean,
I kind of see that she wandered off looking for Alicia, and you could kind of see where that worked out, but yeah. I kind of agree with you there, Dieta.
All right. What do you have for what sauce?
Okay. For my what sauce, I want to start with, so Teddy sees his opportunity to get out of prison, and all he takes with him are his notebooks and nothing else. One would think that you shanked a guard in your cell, and at least he might have pepper spray and a baton.
A gun, maybe.
And all you do is take your notebooks. You didn't even take your pencil because you left it planted in his coconut. So I just figured, yeah, he's a nutter because he's going to take his notebooks full of his ramblings. I guess the next question I have is, who opened the doors?
At the prison.
Who opened the doors? Because they had already passed through going apparently to the death chamber. And the doors were locked. So who opened the doors? Did somebody get bitten in the secure and unapproachable control room? Because that's how the doors open. So I was just kind of wondering about that.
Yeah.
And once again, I have what sauce for the walkies work when they need to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're keying up and you're going, help me, help me, help me. And nothing, dead air. But then when you need to talk to Strand, Strand perks up. When you need to talk to Riley, Riley shows up.
Yep.
So once again, in Magic Battery, Rhode Island, Texas, radio waves do not obey the laws of physics.
Nope.
And I think the last thing I've got for hot sauce is, my goodness, what a mighty clean hotel you have there.
Yeah. And the thing I noticed is that, you know, the grounds around the hotel weren't clean, but the hotel itself looked spotless.
Oh, yeah. It looks very nice.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, you know, obviously the same people who didn't put Bill's store on the map must have not included the hotel.
Hmm.
Because I'm still thinking to myself, if I lived in the area and we were in the midst of a zombie apocalypse, the first place that I would go would be the local 5-star hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, okay, they loosely base this on, what is it, the Greenbrier that's up in West Virginia
that
had the big doomsday bunker for Congress in it.
Yeah.
And it was a secret, but it sort of, well, for you folks in the audience, I'm air quoting secret. Because when they built it, there were all kinds of rumors. There were always rumors in the community because you can't dig a hole that big and pour that much concrete and have that many trucks coming through without somebody who works on the crew telling his, you know, his Aunt Martha or his buddy at the barbershop that he's working on some kind of project for the government at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So again, along with the mighty clean hotel you have there, if there was even an inkling of a rumor that there was a super secure, super equipped fallout shelter in the basement of some hotel, don't you think, given the state of scavenging of everywhere else we've been, that someone would have already been there?
You would think.
I mean, this is several years into the apocalypse, and we're used to looking, you know, like at the main show, you know, they've pretty well picked the crap out of everything in Virginia. And yet here we are, just like Bill's store still being the best equipped store in the apocalypse. This hotel, except for the fact that obviously, like you said, the groundskeeper hasn't been around, nobody's cut the grass. The inside was very tidy, very dust free, very nice. And it kind of makes me wonder, you know, was somebody already there? Have they already sort of picked things over? The elevator works. So once again, somebody's obviously got power. So that just kind of gave me pause.
Mm-hmm.
That it's lovely that you found this incredible bunker that's clean, pristine, and ready to occupy. But it still begs the question, how come no one else has found it by now?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was that far out in the sticks, that far off the beaten path, unless this is suddenly the inverse of Rhode Island, Texas, that Texas actually is that big and there's just nobody there. But that was my biggest what, that I just kind of wonder, how did this big, super clean, secure facility survive unmolested for the entirety of the apocalypse?
Yeah, I have no comeback on that. That's a good point. And, you know, we've had certain things like that in this show specifically, you know, just some kind of head scratchers. So I don't have this written down, but my what sauce is, Teddy in this episode. It seems Teddy is very sure of what is exactly going to happen step by step of this plot. And, you know, for example, I mentioned earlier, how did he know that there'd be Cole and, you know, people from the stadium? That was odd. You know, he picks up he picks up a corpse, which you accurately, you know, said that the idea that it was
right.
he was a mortician. That makes sense. But like, it's like he had a whole plan in store for how this was going to go. And yet it went exactly to plan, but it was so random. The actual events were so random. It felt like it was, you know, just freakishly, you know, like it's a one in a million chance that the steps that Teddy took to prepare for this would have actually happened, but they did. Right. And I just go, that seems to go at the speed of plot. You know, it went this way because it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I bring up my what sauce here, is that it seemed a little manufactured to me. I liked it. There's certain things that I liked about it, like, but an example of this, like Dakota, like he figured out somehow that Dakota was going to turn on Alicia, that Alicia was going to, you know, point the gun at him. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's just like all the steps, you know, brilliant mastermind. So that's where I'm just kind of like, I don't think so.
Well, to dig into last week's episode and to quote my co-host, there's a lot of coinky-dinking going on
here. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that this week I took a little more umbrance at it than I did last week. If there was a lot of, you know, well-laid coincidences that fell into place just so with JD, this is like that times five. There was just a lot of coincidental things that just sort of happened the right way.
But in this case, for me, the episode felt, it wasn't just coincidence. It was kind of like intelligent design, if you want to put it that way. You know, it's like the hand of God is coming down.
It was a lot of deus ex machina. There.
Right, right. Just things were going that way because they were supposed to and not because it made any sense for them to.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it. So, all right.
We'll concur, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's move on to our sad sauce.
Aww. All right. Starting off our sad sauce with Renee from Atlanta. Teddy bear crazy behind locking Alicia up in the room by herself. And teddy bear crazy behind taking Alicia back to the place where Madison died. I didn't like that at all. He's such a psycho. Eye rolling emoji.
Mm-hmm. Aaron from the internet says, the Madison references, they are both awe and sad because it's great to hear about her for me personally, but sad because we know they'll probably never bring her back on screen. Sad face. Yeah, I had a similar take on that, and I think you did too, LT.
Yep.
It seems like it's less likely more than ever that, you know, if Madison wasn't there with them, she's probably not going to be on the show at all. But
nope.
You never know. I mean, but still.
Well you don't. You don't. But I think this makes it a little less likely.
Mm, yeah, I would agree. LT, do you have any sad sauce?
Just one. When the showdown was happening with Cole, just the way that Alicia's face dropped, that, you know, when she gave the speech of, you know, my mother saved you, and then just seeing that he had pretty well turned to the dark side,
mm-hmm.
just the way that, you know, she was happy to see him and you could tell her expression changed. And then after that, you'll notice that she was very cold. She was very mm-hmm. much on point, cold, stone cold Alicia.
Yeah.
So, you know, major props to her. You know, I think that's another one of those things where the acting has been just really, really good.
Yeah.
Because she played that convincingly. She played that very well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to add one just on top of yours to say that it's sad that we are not getting more of Alicia on this show. Like, it's like she was great in this episode. She's been great in the episodes that she's been featured in, but she mm-hmm. hasn't been in much. Like that's the thing this season, especially. I would like to see more of her on screen being a badass, but also just really just like being great. When she gets to play the character, she's fantastic in the character. They just don't show her much, and she's second on the billing. So, it's a little frustrating to only get this much Alicia, for a number two character. And
right. And I know that they have a lot of bodies to go through.
Yeah, they do.
But I will say that she is tragically underused.
Yeah. And, you know, of the characters that are part of the top billing at this point, the only ones that were in the episode were Zoe Coletti as Dakota, and only in speaking, Coleman Domingo, right? And we don't even see him. It's just his voice.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, there really wasn't much of the main characters because, like I said before, John Glover is in, you know, a guest starring role. At least that's, you know, what they've put him as.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course he was definitely in this episode a lot, but given the fact that he's guest starring, chances of him surviving this season are slim.
Very slim.
Yeah. It could happen. I mean, you know, if you remember, like Coleman Domingo, for example, in first season, he was a guest starring character and they promoted him to the main cast. So it's not unheard of. Same on The Walking Dead, you know, like Norman Reedus, Melissa McBride, Lauren Cohan were all, you know, guest actors for the first seasons that they were on, and they were promoted after. So,
yes, but they're not villains.
Right. Right.
You could argue the only villain that's made the jump for that's been Negan.
Right.
And he's not necessarily now a bad guy.
Yeah.
He may have been promoted to anti-hero.
Right. That's accurate, I think.
Yep.
Okay. So that's it for our sad sauce. So let's move on to our feedback section.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, so we got a voicemail, and I think this voicemail is going to become a sound effect that I occasionally use, because if there's anything that I would like to get out of the podcast, it's...
the money.
Yes, we got a voicemail this week, and it was only this one, and all it said was...
the money.
Because you know, that's why Brian and I do it. Why do we do it?
The money.
So yes, we've had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, already. Yeah, it's time that you show me
the money.
Yep.
Teddy, where is
the money?
Anyway. Yep. Yeah, okay. It could get old, but it's funny. Like, literally, well, I don't know the point of that voicemail. It was...
Well, all I would say is, to whomever left that, we're sorry that that's all we got. Please call back and try again.
Well, I'm pretty sure...
We'd love to hear what else you have to say other than...
I'm pretty sure that it was a just a, you know, telemarketer, but...
Yeah, but I would still expect it to be your warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Brian, did you know that your car's extended warranty is about to run out? So, yeah.
Yeah, and it could cost you...
the money.
Anyway.
It's true.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's move on to actual feedback.
Okay. Well, we've got some feedback from Renee from Atlanta. She says, another good episode. I said from day one, Dakota has some serious issues, and she has the mentality of someone that would definitely drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not surprised at all that she jumped on the teddy bear train. Morgan needs to get his mind right and not start all that crazy crap about not killing, because him and the crew are going to have to kill. I really am looking forward to seeing where they're going with this submarine, because I can't see them really using it to kill everyone. LT, I agree with you. You're supposed to be honest about how you feel about the show. Sometimes you're not going to be happy about an episode, and that's all shows. I'm not happy with every episode of The Handmaid's Tale, but I respect everyone's perspective, and it's good to see other people's points of view. I just feel that the other podcast acts as if it's just Fear the Walking Dead that has hit or miss episodes. We can agree to disagree. You guys continue to be awesome sauce and have a wonderful week. Praying hands, and praying hands.
Well, thank you so much, Renee.
Thank you, Renee.
Yes, and thank you. I think there have been other podcasts that, like we've said, have had other feelings about the show, and
it's like I said, it's not all gonna be, all dross and no gold. It's not all chaff and no wheat. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you like the series, you can be critical, but you call it like you see it. As a whole, I still gave it an 8. I mean, I like the episode, mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do the voice, but even though nitpicking LT will pop up and do his thing, because it's what we do. That's why you listen to us.
Yeah.
For our amusing anecdotes and our analysis of what you've just watched.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever used the nitpicking Brian voice. No, on
you haven't.
Yeah. Just for those of you that listen to only the Walking Dead portion, there is a character that I sometimes play on the Star Trek podcasts, and it's nitpicking Brian. And he comes out whenever there's some goofy thing that, something to nitpick. I'll come up with this voice. Because, that's pretty much what it seems like. You can nitpick a show to death. And, I'm kind of past that point, really, on these shows and on Walking Dead, because, I don't know. I try to enjoy them for what they are. I think this show is better than it was. The Walking Dead's better than it was. And there has the stuff that gets nitpicked. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the Star Trek world that gets nitpicked to death. And most of the time, I don't have to bring out that voice. But it's really funny when I do. People hate it, including me, by the way.
It's true.
It is true.
I think the big thing for us, just to throw it out for this show, is you could get wrapped around the axle, nitpicking tiny, tiny details.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm more looking at big logical inconsistencies or mm-hmm. things that just kind of hit me hard.
Right.
There's lots of things that we could get real, super picky about, but that's not the point of this.
Right.
I'm not getting paid to be their continuity guy.
Right.
So,
and it's worth saying too, that it is a zombie apocalypse. So it already is built on a fact, a universal fact that in reality makes no sense. Like, we have nothing in our real world that could reanimate a corpse and cause the corpses to eat the flesh of the living. So it's based on something that doesn't exist and is far-fetched, beyond being far-fetched. So you have to come into it saying, you know, suspending your disbelief on that fact. And if you can't get past that point, you're not going to get into the shows. So the parts that, you know, I'll nitpick are more story based, and usually they're not things to nitpick as much. They're like big structural problems, like the problems with, you know, time and distance are among them on this show. Things that don't make sense in terms of, you know, like being able to go to point from point A to point B, like you mentioned, the walkie-talkies that seem to mm-hmm. work when they're supposed to work and don't work when they're not supposed to work. You know, gasoline.
Yeah. And the biggest thing has always been, I can make the leap from my suspension of disbelief to a point, but when it goes from Olympic broad jump to the Snake River Canyon, that's when I start calling things into question.
Yeah. Like from season 4, like, you know, it was kind of a cool, like, special effect that they did, you know, like when I say special effect, not like a computer generated effect, but a practical effect where they simulated a hurricane. But the way that they had things moving in the hurricane, to me, I just couldn't buy it. You know, we had things like getting pushed in the air, and it just didn't make sense. The laws of physics weren't being followed, basically, is what I saw. And, you know, and then, of course, I've talked about the whole Morgan ends up waking up in Mississippi. That, again, a time and distance problem, and just something that really, it continues to just not ring true to me. So it's those kind of things that I can't stay silent on.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on. Anyway, thank you, Renee. So moving on, we have some feedback from Glynis from Toronto. She says, what a quote unquote mother of an episode. Dakota again needs to die. And that's in caps. Saying it was necessary to kill John, spoiled, murderous brat, and Teddy purposely supporting her warped reasoning. Those two must die a slow and painful death. You will get no objections from me. She continues, she says, Cole lived a little longer than Morales, but did need to die. He was too far gone to redeem. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, there, you know, there was the whole Morales kind of did the turn from good guy to bad guy on the Walking Dead show, you know, became part of the Negan's people. Continuing, Alicia kills for valid reasons. Dakota just kills to get her way, and Teddy kills his mother. So maybe being like their respective mothers in a way. Ultimately, their decisions are their own and shouldn't really be blamed on anything their mother did to them or demonstrated. Is Alicia going to be left to die and rot in that underground bunker, and so be the end is the beginning? Or is Alicia going to be the quote-unquote mother of the new beginning and Teddy being the quote-unquote father? I mean, it sounded like Teddy is planning not to survive this, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, the question that we've got is, you know, what happens to the rest of them? And it sounded like they were all going to die, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And also, it makes no sense because she couldn't be the new beginning, because without other people, she can't have other people.
Correct.
Unless she has clones. So anyway, looks like a desperate situation with Alicia. How is she going to get out of this one unscathed? I don't know. Hurry, Strand, and bring Morgan's group in tow for the big showdown in the last two episodes. I see the next episode will have to wait 2 weeks for now. Frowny face.
Yep.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a minute. Strand and company will need to pull the true lie stunt and snatch and remove a key from the console slash suitcase to prevent the launch of the nuke at the precise moment, and wouldn't be out of place. If a Harrier jet can also be requisitioned, maybe sourced from CRM or the Commonwealth. Smiley face.
But they don't have Arnold.
True enough. We don't know, of course, if they have that. So they may.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it's a lot harder mechanically to keep a Harrier flying than it is a Huey.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So we got some more feedback from Dieta from Detroit. She says, Dakota is the snitch that was given intel to Teddy and the Psycho crew. Teddy was too comfortable with her, and that little witch has been sneaking out for a while, filling Teddy in on Virginia settlements. How else could she know where to meet up with Teddy's people? She thought Alicia was going to fall for the let's be friends, I'm trying to help everyone crap. Alicia should have turned the gun on that lying little witch and shot her in the head. I am so over this little witch, Dakota. Somebody call Carol quick because she needs to look at the flowers. So what happened to the group going back and rescuing Alicia? The episode before the baby dream, they had come back to tell Morgan Alicia helped the escaped bit got caught. Then the scene showed Morgan grabbing a map saying where the camp was, and then next the dream episode. Like, weren't they going to find Alicia? The dream baby episode, then the finding of John Dory's daddy. How much time has passed and nobody has found Alicia or the guy that Morgan stabbed in the chest and gave the key to and who has miraculously healed fully with no evidence of being injured makes me think it's been a while. And she's got a chin scratching emoji and an eye rolling emoji. I was hyped about this season because the change in Morgan coming to take Virginia down only to waver and develop remorse at the last minute so he spares her. These spotty episodes with no connection or flow into the other episodes is irritating. If not for Alicia's performance, this episode is what keeps me wanting more. And that's like shrug emoji and shrug emoji. She finally says, overall decent episode, Alicia is the new beginning.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So that is it for our feedback. Do you have any other notes?
I think it'll probably go a little bit more next week. Mm. The only thing that I'm thinking of is I just want to see how they pull off trying to launch missiles out of a beached submarine.
Mm. Yeah, that does seem.
Because there's a lot of stuff you have to do to shoot a missile out of a submarine. And I'm sure if any of my Submariner brethren are out listening to this, they would concur.
Mm.
I'm just wondering how they're going to pull it off because I keep thinking about that line from Red October is that you have to open the doors first.
Mm. Right.
And I'm sure that we'll see how all that goes. And of course, I'm still wondering what they're going to do with a submarine full of walkers.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's certain...
There are some logistical things we'll have to work through next episode.
Yeah. I will give credit to Wendy, who was guest hosting on Walking Dead cast. I didn't get to listen to their whole episode, but I will agree with her on the one thing I heard her say is that Teddy is definitely giving off a Norman Bates vibe.
Mother.
Yeah.
Mother.
Definitely has certain mother issues.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely so. I was very surprised though that that it was like kind of like surprise, that's not my mother. You know, that was one of like I said, there were some plot twists in this episode.
Yeah.
And that was one of the better ones. Just did not see that.
Yeah, I completely bought that was mom.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. My main observation that I'm making right now is that I wish that we would have had Teddy as the main bad guy for the entire season and maybe, you know, had Virginia be the bad guy for last season, because, you know, or maybe Virginia be the bad guy for season six and Teddy be the bad guy for season seven. I don't know, however you want to play it.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting character, and if he's going to end up dying at the end, it's, you know, it's kind of a waste, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's, and just the thing about that, look at the last two episodes that Colby Menifee was in. You know, she played Jenny so much deeper in those last bits.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And now we've got a really compelling bad guy, and we're going to be done with him. It's just, like you said, give us a little more time to build some more tension and build a few more things. And you can argue that this is just a problem with the short seasons that we have these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about it, if this was old school TV and we had, what, 24 episodes, 26 episodes,
yeah,
rather than 16, that they could have very well have done what you've laid out. They could have had more time to develop Jenny into a more compelling bad guy and give us some more build up to what we've seen with Teddy in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like a waste, you know? So if Teddy and his minions end up dying at the end of this season, it just seems like it's going to be a waste. And there was, I didn't get to see the end of Talking Dead before we recorded last week, but I have since. And there was one thing that Keith Carradine said. He said that, you know, one thing that you fans should know is that the season finale is going to blow you away or something like that, is what he said. And, you know, spoiler, but what does that mean? We've heard that all along so many times. But
you're not going to have a main character on the say, yeah, the season finale is going to be hugely underwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But still, I just think that I would like to see a whole season of Teddy. That's just my take on it.
Yeah.
I think he is an interesting character. You know, his people are interesting. We still don't know the story of the submarine. We still don't, as far as I know, don't have the story about the shorts that are supposed to be playing. And maybe that's an indication that Teddy will survive past the season. Who knows? So we don't know. We don't really know exactly, but,
no, we don't.
Yeah. So anyway, I am curious to know where things are going, but that's beyond that. That's about all I have to say. So,
okay,
let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Okay, so I kind of lucked out at the last minute here. I mentioned last week that the site that I've been using for ratings, showbuzzdaily.com, has been down, and they are still down. They still haven't restored functionality back to the site. So the last page that they have for ratings is May the 12th. So, and we're recording this on May 26th.
Yep.
And that's the last that they have. However, I was able to get at least partial ratings for Fear the Walking Dead season 6 episode 13 and season 6 episode 14 from other sites. So when I say partial, I mean we don't have the 25 to 54 and 50 and over like I've been giving, but we do have 18 to 49. And in the case of season 6 episode 13, I also have the live plus 3 day and the live plus 7 day, which is something I used to give, but I haven't seen it posted anywhere until now. So I will give that, and I can't give you, like, you know, how has the show progressed, but I can give you what I have. So let's go back to the last episode that I was able to give ratings for, season 6, episode 12. It got a 0.25 in the 18 to 49 with an all-time low at the time of 988,000 viewers, with also a 0.36 in 25 to 54 and a 0.55 in the 50 and over. So for last week's episode, season 6, episode 13, JD, Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.27 in the 18 to 49 with 1.091 million viewers. And I also have Live Plus 3-day and Live Plus 7-day. It got in the Live Plus 3-day, it got a 0.43 in the 18 to 49 with 1.652 million viewers. And then after 7 days, it got a 0.48 in the 18 to 49 with 1.786 million viewers. And that is an increase of 695,000 viewers over the Live Plus same day, and a 0.21 over the Live Plus same day. So anyway, that is a figure that I didn't have before. So that's cool. In terms of this episode, season 6, episode 14, Mother, I do have the 18 to 49 and the total viewers. It got a 0.23 in the 18 to 49, not an all-time low, but I think that's second worst. But it did have the worst in total viewers with 940,000 viewers. So it dipped under a million again, and this time it was lower than the 988 from two episodes ago. So that's all we have. In terms of paired analytics, The Walking Dead was not represented. Of course, number one was SpongeBob with 63.4 times the average demand of a show. And number two was Saturday Night Live. Game of Thrones is number three. So it's doing quite well right now.
Hmm.
Nothing on as far as The Walking Dead. So the one news item that actually kind of cut part of it out of last week, because by the time you guys got the episode already aired. I didn't have to mention that there'll be an episode May 23rd. There is no episode next week. So it's off for the Memorial holiday weekend. So we are taking a week off, and we will be back for season 6, episode 15. And that will be our next deadline would be on Tuesday, assuming we don't extend it like we had to do this week.
June the 8th.
And then the finale would be June the 15th for, like I say, the submission deadline. So unless we push it back a day, like, unfortunately, I just got way behind on stuff this week, so I couldn't, I didn't even get to watch the episode until today. So that's where I'm at. But that's it for discussion of,
well, you know, Brian, since we're not doing it for the money, we have to work around our work schedules. And
yes,
sometimes it just happens that way. Yeah,
because, you know, it's all about
the money.
Correct.
Yeah. Because, you know, one thing you got to know that we do this podcast, but it's not for
the money.
It's just because we love doing it.
Yeah.
And needless to say, Brian and I both have real jobs. So sometimes that just happens.
Yeah. And I should also mention, I forgot to mention it when giving the ratings for Talking Dead. I was unable to get any ratings for last week. It didn't appear on the programminginsider.com page. So in other words, its ratings were so low that it didn't register high enough for them to cover it. So,
wow.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not surprising because the last couple that have been on there, they've kind of posted like as a comment or something like that on showbuzzdaily.com. So anyway, so in terms of ratings, the ratings are going to be kind of iffy. It all depends on whether or not they get submitted from now on, but who knows? All right, moving on. That's it for this episode. So LT, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter. That's at Walking Dead TTM. Also on Instagram at the same handle. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can use our feedback forum. That's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can leave us voicemail at area code 216-232-6146. All of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first to YouTube before the podcast does. We would love it if you would like and subscribe to the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way that you can support us is through our Patreon. That's at www.patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, and that guy.
Indeed.
We want you to
that guy.
And we want you to subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, please give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners.
And props to the Rebinge DS9 podcast, which is still going strong, covering season 3 of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Kim and James are producing weekly episodes that usually come out Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. So you can get that on the Talk Through Media all-inclusive feed, but there's also a specific feed for that. So if you're a Deep Space Nine fan, definitely check them out. They're a great podcast, part of the Talk Through Media Network. At some point, we're going to, we keep saying we're at some point, but we've got to do a Patreon, and things have been kind of hectic. And as of today, even more hectic. But we'll probably try to do a Patreon in June. I have a feeling that my schedule is going to lighten up a little bit. So
we are still hopefully anticipating doing a Patreon show for our Walking Dead listeners. It's just a matter of working out the logistics.
Yeah, I think we'll probably maybe do one at the end of the season. So I could see us doing one after the season finale of Fear. So,
yep.
But the Star Trek Facebook group is at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts. And you can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And our next episode for this podcast will be covering season 6, episode 15, that is titled USS Pennsylvania. Obviously, that must be the name of the sub. We don't know who's written it or directed it. I was unable to find that information today, but I did find a description. It says, in a race against time to stop Teddy's plan, motives are revealed and convictions are tested as Morgan and his allies infiltrate and make their way through the beached submarine that holds the tools for Teddy's destruction. Maybe this is where we'll finally get the shorts for, do you remember what the name of that is supposed to be?
No.
I can't think of
it. I just remember they teased it, and that's the last we saw of it.
Yeah. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.